Don Blackwell.
I want us to talk today about the subject of joy, Christian joy. Galatians 5 and verse 22 says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. If you could open up a Christian and look inside of him, you ought to find joy. I want us to consider this sustaining factor, this joy that ought to be in every child of God. But what we are talking about goes far beyond a smile. It is far beyond something that takes place outwardly. We are talking about joy. We are talking about something that is not outward necessarily. We are talking about something that lies deep within. Because you see, a smile might last for a few hours, but joy is something that can last eternally. At least that's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. We are told to rejoice evermore. Because you see, it's not true that you can be happy all the time. But it is true that you can be joyful all the time. And there is a difference between happiness and between joy. Now somebody may say, well, what is the difference? Describe for me the difference in happiness and joy. Because after all, everybody wants to be happy. You know, a few years ago there was a song out, I think that it was by Bobby McFerrin, and it said something like this, you know, whatever's going wrong in your life, don't worry, be happy. It's all going to turn out all right. You remember that song? Well, it may be that it's going to turn out all right, but it doesn't make sense to say that you can be happy all the time. Because happiness depends on circumstances. You know, sometimes young people sing a song that says, I'm a downright, inright, upright, outright, happy all the time. Well, that would be good, but it's not really true, really. I mean, you can't be happy all the time. And we made the statement in Bible class last week that people who are happy all the time, we wonder about them. That something might be wrong there. You can't be happy all the time because happiness depends on circumstances. And circumstances in life are not always conducive to creating happiness in our lives. And so life is filled with ups and downs and disappointments. And if you're looking for a time that you are going to be happy all the time, then you're going to be disappointed. You're going to come up empty because that's not the way it is with life. Happiness depends on circumstances. For example, if it's been rainy weather, I may say, well, I feel so blue. I just feel down today. But then all of a sudden you let the sun pop out and I feel happy again. Now, my happiness depends on what? Whether or not the sun was shining. You see, if the sun's shining, I'm happy. If it's not shining, I'm not happy. You see, the circumstances determine the way that I feel. But not so with this word that the Apostle Paul describes as one of the fruits of the Spirit, joy. Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now notice that. Rejoice in whom? He says rejoice in the Lord, not in the circumstances you're in. Because if you're going to rejoice in your circumstances, you're going to find some times that are going to be very difficult along the way because your circumstances are constantly changing. But you see, there is one who never changes, and that's the Lord. And therefore, I can rejoice in Him. Happiness has been said that it is like cosmetics. Joy is like character. Happiness is something that deals with the outside. Joy deals with the inside. Happiness deals with surface needs. Joy deals with the deepest needs. Happiness is something that evaporates in times of suffering. Joy intensifies. Happiness is like a thermometer. It registers conditions. But joy regulates conditions. And so what I'm saying, friend, is this. If you have joy in your heart, deep down inside of you, and you overlay it with happiness, that's marvelous. That is a great thing to have. But I'm also saying this, you don't have to have happiness to have the type of joy that we're talking about this morning. Joy which is eternal. Joy which comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to appreciate with me several reasons why joy is so very important. Here's the first one. Please listen to this. One reason that joy is important in my life is because I will never win another person to Christ. If I have a sour and a dour disposition, I never will. Because you see, if someone sees that Christianity has really made no difference in my life, and it hasn't changed my outlook, it hasn't changed my attitude and my perspective about things, don't think that you will ever convert that person to a saving knowledge of God's truth, because you're not going to do it. It's obviously had no effect upon you and upon your outward character. It doesn't reflect something that's happening within you inwardly. And therefore, others just are not going to say, I want that. They're going to say, I don't need it. I don't want that. It hasn't made a difference in his life. I want you to consider with me a passage by David in Psalm chapter 51, verses 12 and 13. Not only did he ask God to restore the joy of his salvation, but he also asked for something else. And Psalm 51, beginning at verse 12, David wrote, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Now, oftentimes we focus in on that part, and we talk about the sorrow and the pain that David experienced, and we say this was probably written after the sin with Bathsheba. He wrote, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." But notice the next verse. He says, then, after he's had the joy of his salvation restored, then, when you have returned the joy of my salvation, then will I teach transgressors of thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. But notice that, not until the joy of his salvation has been returned. Because you see, he had lost his fellowship with God. Therefore, he could not win other people to the Lord. You know, joy is really the proof outwardly that what I have inwardly is for real. And so, I need to have Christian joy in my life so that I can win other people to Christ. But I'll tell you something else. Joy is necessary to live the Christian life. I mean, there are just too many difficult things that happen to you in life. There are too many disappointments that are going to come your way to live without joy. The Christian needs something deep within him that brings him peace, peace in his heart, and that is joy. Psalm 100 and verse 2, the psalmist said, "I will serve the Lord with gladness." Nehemiah wrote in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." You know, sometimes the joy of the Lord is all that we have when we face the difficult moments in life. Well, how do I get this joy? How do I get this joy that's something that all of us certainly desire? Well, I want to suggest to you first that it's not through this laughing theology craze that is taking place in some areas of our nation. Have you seen this on TV? These religious organizations where these people supposedly get the Holy Spirit. The Spirit supposedly sweeps down through the auditorium and people just start jumping over pews and rolling in the aisles and laughing uncontrollably. You know, it's amazing to me sometimes what people accredit to the Holy Spirit of God. You don't find anything like that in the Bible. It is disrespectful. It is irreverent. And that's not the Holy Spirit that's doing that. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're not talking about just laughing uncontrollably and attributing it to God. What we're talking about is not that, not even close to that. This idea is something where you just laugh yourself silly. That's not Christian joy. We're talking about something that is deep down within our souls, something Paul calls joy in Galatians 5. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Well, how do I get this Christian joy? I want to suggest to you four basic ingredients, four things involved in having joy in my life. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to notice four things that help me to have Christian joy in my life. Number one, I can have Christian joy in my heart and in my life if I know the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number one, cleansing power. You see, notice what he says here in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, true Bible faith brings about something that's very special, and that is justification. Now, what is justification? Justification simply means that I have been cleansed of my sins, my record is clean, the Lord is no longer holding this against me. And what this verse is saying is that once I reach the state of justification, then I can have peace in my heart. And I have peace in my heart because of it. You know, it's not hard for us to understand why it is that when you have justification and your sins are forgiven, you can have peace, and why that brings me joy. You know, when a person understands that he is a sinner, and he understands the consequences of sin, that is a heavy burden to bear. And all the peace that comes, the joy that comes when you know that your sins are forgiven. You know, I can remember when I understood, before I obeyed the gospel, when I understood that I was lost. And I was worried about that. And it made me sick to my stomach. And I can remember lying in bed at night thinking, I've got to do something about this, because I understood the eternal consequences. Friends, sin is a very heavy burden to bear. You can't have joy in your life when you understand that you're carrying the burden of sin. We need to understand the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice this. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, we are told that it is Christ's blood by which we are justified. But sometimes people in the denominational world like to take Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and say that we are justified by faith only. But you see, they are missing the link in their chain here because of verse 9. Where is the link between our faith and between the blood of Christ? Both of those things are necessary before a man can be justified. But where's the link between faith and the blood of Christ? Friends, the link is in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. It is my burial into Christ's death. That is where I come in contact with the blood. My faith motivates me to obey the gospel, to be baptized. And that's when I'm washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the reaction of my faith that the Lord expects of me. And so the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me when I obey the gospel. And so that's the first point that we're making today. If you want to have true joy in your life, it's going to come by obeying the gospel. It's going to come by becoming a Christian. If you're not a child of God, you're never going to have true joy in your life. I want you to listen to what Jesus told His apostles in Luke chapter 10. They had been out preaching on the limited commission, and they came back and they told Jesus, they said, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Your name." They'd been casting out demons, and they were amazed by this. And they were very proud of this fact. Verse number 20, Jesus said unto them, "Rejoice not in this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And brethren, that's the same thing for us. When we know the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, when we obey the gospel, know that I'm a child of God and that burden of sin has been lifted off of me, then I can have peace and I can have joy. Here's the second ingredient. First is the cleansing power of Jesus. Here's the second one. The second ingredient to have Christian joy is a confident hope. Again, look at Romans 5 and verse 2. He says, "Also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now you see that? Where is my rejoicing? We rejoice in hope. Friends, my rejoicing as a Christian comes first from the knowledge that I am cleansed from my sin. It's the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. But secondly, it comes from a confident hope in the Lord. Now, where do I get that confident hope? It's from the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, John said, "Brethren, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, because this verse teaches me that I can know that I'm going to heaven. You see, as a Christian, I have a confident hope for the future. I have a hope of eternal life, and it's not hope in the sense of guesswork. It's a confident hope. It is a confident expectation that I am going to heaven. And John wrote, "These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life." You know, sometimes I hear people or see people and they're walking around saying, "Boy, I hope I go to heaven. I hope I've done enough. I hope I'm going to make it." And they're almost wringing their hands. Brethren, something's not right there. Can you tell me that a person has true joy when he walks around every day not knowing whether he's going to go to heaven? Part of my joy is to have a confident hope for the future. First, it's because of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. My sins are washed away. I don't have that burden of sin anymore. That brings me joy. But secondly, it's a confident hope. I know what awaits me when this life is over. I can know. Sometimes people say, "You people in the Church of Christ, you don't even know if you're going to go to heaven when you die." The reason they say that is because we teach that once saved, always saved is not true. And it's not. The Bible doesn't teach that. A person can fall from grace. But they'll say, "You people in the Church of Christ don't even know if you're going to go to heaven when you die." That's not true. It shouldn't be true. John said, "These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life." Now here's a third thing as we follow this. Joy is in my life, first, because I know the cleansing power of the blood. Secondly, because I have a confident hope of heaven. Thirdly, the third ingredient to Christian joy is commitment. Now follow me on this one. Again, Romans chapter 5. Listen to verse 1. Particularly, I want you to notice the end of the verse. He says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, Jesus Christ." Have you ever stopped to examine that word Lord? What does the word Lord mean? What does that mean to your life? It ought to relate to your commitment to Him. Because He is your Lord. He is the Lord. He is the one to whom I have submitted my life. He is the Lord. Do you realize the power of that word? Friends, I'll tell you this morning, you cannot have true Christian joy unless you have commitment to the Lord. Yeah, you might have a good feeling, but if you don't have commitment, you can't really have cleansing. And if you don't have cleansing, you can't have confidence. If you do, it's going to be misplaced confidence. And so I ask this question, lukewarm Christians, half-hearted Christians, where is your joy? And the answer ought to be, it left with my commitment. It left with my confidence. And it left with my cleansing. Because you see how all these things are tied together? If I am not committed to my service to the Lord, if He's not really my Lord, if I'm not serving Him, I don't have the cleansing because I'm not walking in the light. I'm not being cleansed by His blood. And I don't have a confident hope. Because if I'm not cleansed, I'm not going to heaven. The three go together here. Friends, what I want to tell you this morning is this. When a man becomes a Christian, when he makes Christ his Lord, that is a commitment that requires his all. That's why in Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, what does that mean, I'm crucified with Christ? In the first century, when a person was crucified, that meant they were going to be put to death. And it was a painful death. He died to self. And so that's why in Philippians 1:21, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You want to talk about commitment? I tell you what, when a man is in that state, that he is crucified with Christ, he is living for the Lord, he can have true joy because his life is not his own, and his destiny is heaven. And if a man doesn't have that, if he is walking according to his own lust, if he doesn't have that commitment, then the idea of Jesus being his Lord is just a hoax. You know, I think all of us who are here this morning, who are members of the Lord's church, who are Christians, can appreciate the power of this point, commitment. Because all of us have peaks and valleys in our spiritual lives. All of us have times that we are stronger and times that we are weaker. And you know that what I'm talking about is true. When you have those times of weakness, when you're not studying like you ought to, when you're not teaching like you ought to, when you're not living like you ought to as a Christian, what begins to happen? You begin to have concerns and doubts about your salvation. Why? Because you know you're not doing what you ought to do. When that commitment is not there, I begin to doubt my cleansing. And I lose my confident hope. And my Christian joy ceases to be in my life. I need those things if I'm going to have the joy that is always supposed to be within me. Now here's the fourth one and the final one. A fourth ingredient to joy is communion with the Lord. I see, first, that I need to know the cleansing power. I see, secondly, I need to have a confident hope. I know I'm going to go to heaven. I know, number three, I've got to have commitment. But finally, I need to have communion with the Lord. Here's Romans 5. I want to skip down a little bit in the chapter, verse number 11. It says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now notice he says the joy is in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now as I said at the beginning of the lesson, joy is not found in my circumstances. Joy is found in Christ. It is in Him. That's why Paul says rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. John 17:13, Jesus says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. Does Jesus expect us to be people that are hopeless? People who are pessimists? People who are gloomy all the time? Not at all. Jesus said that He wants us to have the joy that He has. And even this morning as we partook of the Lord's Supper, even as we gather around this communion with the Lord, gather around this table and we consider the crucifixion of Christ, that's a horrible event. But at the same time, it's a source of my joy. Because without the crucifixion of my Lord, I would not have forgiveness of my sins. Now what I'm saying is this. Friends, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 10:16 says that it is a communion with the Lord. The Greek word for communion means a joint sharing. It is a joint participation. It is the same word sometimes translated as fellowship. We are fellowshipping with the Lord. The Lord is part of my life. Sometimes I hear people in the denominational world say, I know Jesus. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. You ever heard somebody say that? What do they mean by that? Should we have a personal relationship with the Lord? We should, but what does that mean? It means that I'm communing with Him. I'm fellowshipping with Him. And it's not just in the Lord's Supper that we do that. We commune with the Lord through the week in prayer. We commune with the Lord through the week when we study His Word, when we seek to know more about Him, when we're seeking to grow closer to Him, when we worship, when we partake of the communion. This daily communion between the Lord and the individual is one of the ingredients to true Christian joy. And see, if I don't have that, when I'm not studying like I should, when I'm not praying like I should, when I pray, I'm talking to God. When I study, He's talking to me. If I don't have that, I don't have the communion that I ought to have. And why would that be? Because I don't have the commitment that I ought to have. And when I lack commitment, I'm not going to have cleansing. And when I don't have cleansing, I don't have a confident hope. The Christian life is like a puzzle. All of the pieces need to be there for me to have joy in my life. Friends, this morning, if you're looking for joy, true joy, it can only be found in Christ Jesus. Now, that's true, you might find some temporary happiness in the pleasures of this world. But if you want joy, it's not found in the world. If you are here this morning and you've been trying to live that way, you've been trying to live for the world, I think you know that what I'm saying is true. You're not going to find joy there. This morning, true joy is found in the cleansing blood of Jesus, in confidence in your salvation, in your commitment to the Lord, and your communion with Him. For just a moment, I want you to reflect on this past year. I want you to think about 2006. What has your life been like in 2006? Are you better spiritually today than you were 1 year ago? In 2006, how was your prayer life? Did you spend time this last year in private devotion regularly? Was Bible reading and study a regular part of your week? Were you evangelistic? Did you bring anyone to Christ? Did you attend faithfully? Are you more knowledgeable today than you were a year ago? If you're answering no to these questions, there is no doubt that your Christian joy is not what it ought to have been. This morning you can have joy, but it's going to come through a commitment and a communion with Christ. And that's going to involve work in my life. Maybe you're here today as a child of God, and you know that you haven't been what you ought to be. And as a result of that, you have doubts about your salvation. And it's causing you to lack joy. It's causing you to be uncertain and to be very concerned about eternity. It doesn't have to be that way. You can make that commitment. You can be solid and dedicated and know that you have eternal life, as 1 John 5:13 says. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. You don't know the cleansing power of Jesus because you've not yet become a Christian. You haven't been washed in the blood. You need to know what the Bible says to do to become a child of God. That is to hear the gospel, to believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins.